you guys for joining us here for episode number 13. We have two very special guests with us today. One is very special, Quinn Roman. he's just kind of average, you know. He's been here before. Roman and Quinn are both part of Sonido Clash, and we're going to be talking about their upcoming show here in San Jose this Sunday, September 3rd, at the Mexican Heritage Plaza for the second annual Sonido Clash Music Fest. Just going to plug that right away from the get-go. If you live anywhere in the Bay Area, you should definitely come check out the show. Prayers, El Lado Negro, Cuco, Grupo Maravilla, Afrodita, Chico, Sonido, and some other artists are some of the artists that are going to be playing, along with a poetry center, live art, a mercado, car show, cumbia dance lessons, which I need to sign up for because I don't know how to fucking dance, and kids activities. It's going to be a lot of cool shit, so please check it out. It's September 3rd, this Sunday, at the Mexican Heritage Plaza in San Jose. Visit Sonido Clash. .com for more info. Follow them on across social media as well. Let's just get right into it. Why don't you guys just introduce yourselves very quickly? Who are you? Where are you from? And what do you do? We'll start here with Quinn to my left.
My name is Quinn. I'm a part of Sonido Clash and working with design and production and marketing. And what I do for Sonido Clash and outside, I'm a social artist producing events within the cultural arts for different arts organizations, whether it's the School of Arts and Culture, the Women's Showcase, All Women's Showcase, and other grassroots efforts and projects. And so I'm like, if you're at like Roy's or if you're at the Forger or just at a poetry event, I'm probably there somewhere.
Awesome. And where are you from? You're from here originally?
I am San Jose local.
Awesome. Yeah. And Mr. What's your name again, dude?
I think my name is Roman.
Okay.
You can call me Roman also. But my name is Roman. Roman.
Okay.
But I go by Turbo Sonidero. I'm part of Sonido Clash. I produce. I DJ. I help out a lot in marketing and posting stuff sometimes on Facebook. What else do I do, Quinn?
He books artists.
I book a lot of artists.
Sick. So maybe describe to people what Sonido Clash is. We've had a few of the members on already and we talked about it. But I think it's in this episode, I kind of just want to be primarily to promote this show, because I'm actually really excited for this show. It's going to be super tight, and but I think it's good to talk about the history of Sonido Clash and kind of what led to this festival, because there are a lot of really cool ass artists that are coming. So how would you describe Sonido Clash to somebody that have never heard of it before?
When I first heard of Sonido Clash, it was at over at the Blackbird Tavern, which was, when it was open, it was like, what, 2 years, 3 years ago?
It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. And I came for a friend's going away party, which also happened to be a Sonido Clash event. And I think that may have been one of my first events there. And when I went there, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, the music's nice. The people there are really accepting and nice.
Except for the guy DJing.
I think the guy DJing was like, actually the guy DJing was easy.
Was he wearing huaraches, or do you remember what he was wearing that night?
No, because I didn't pay that much attention.
He's probably wearing an LA hat. He's like, yeah, I'm so LA.
I was like, oh, he's from LA. No, easy's cool sometimes. I was there with friends, and then all of a sudden, my one friend, Roberto, who's a well-known artist, he's actually one of the artist laureates of San Jose. Introduced me to Fernando, saying like, hey, Fernando, Quinn's like a graphic designer. Fernando here is looking for like a designer. And I turned around, and that was my first interaction with him, saying like, oh yeah, I love branding. I love design. And I'm looking at Fernando, and he's like wearing, this is a very strong memory, he was wearing like jean on jean.
like the Britney Spears and
Justin
Timberlake.
It was cool. He looked cool. I was like, if anyone can pull off Gene on Gene, then that's
hilarious.
That's a very strong man.
That's hilarious.
And he's just
what, so it was just like a birthday party, and you guys were.
I actually wasn't there. I remember okay. when I heard about that night, but no, I wasn't.
Okay, okay.
And I think he was telling me about Sonido Clash, how it was a collective of DJs, and they just they want to produce community events, parties. And I was like, "That's cool. It's cool. Yeah. Let me see what I can do. I'm very interested." So we connected. At that time, I was working with Cultura Marketing, and from there was a collaboration where Cultura Marketing helped Sonido Clash with a website. Which is in existence now, the website now that you're seeing
cool.
online. And
so sonidoclash.com.
Yes. Come visit. And so building that, I met Roman, and then Angel, and then Tommy, I had already known through past productions with music.
Cool.
And from there, I talked to them, and I learned more about them, about what they were doing for the community. And what I really liked about what it stood out to me was that they were very community oriented.
Yes.
They love to party from what I've seen. But
yeah, yeah.
But behind, deep down, behind all the partying and like all of that.
Rachetero, I think it's
debauchery.
Called.
Debauchery.
In Spanish.
I didn't say it. Is a group of guys. A group of people, a community, very small collective, where they really just want to bring out people, just like anybody who love music, who want to learn new music, and just bring them all in one,
yeah, I think
one
the,
roof and have fun.
Yeah, the tagline that you guys have here on your website, I think, is a good description of kind of what it is. It's Sonido Clash, exploring the diaspora of traditional, modern, and emerging Latinx art and sounds. And that's kind of was my introduction to them as well. Of they were kind of throwing shows or whatever. That's kind of what you see on the surface. But then you dig deeper, and yeah, you know, like Fernando works here at Debug. You are involved with Debug as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mextape, Turbo, they all are kind of. It's a good mix of people in its current form of, yeah, basically of trying to get these kind of Latin artists together, and kind of showcase them. And what's really cool about this show, what I was saying earlier, is that I think it's a really good sort of step, the next step from just throwing shows. Because when I met you guys, I've already talked about this a bunch, but I had never heard of Prayers when you guys brought them out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who the fuck is Prayers? And then you look them up, you're like, holy shit, these guys are really fucking cool and interesting. And so from there, I was like, cool. And then you guys brought out like Malportado Kids and Marie Jose and all these bands that I'd honestly never heard of. But that were really on the sort of cutting edge of kind of the Latin space, if that's what you want to call it. So that's really cool, and I'm really excited for you guys, this show. And so maybe we can describe, if you could describe Sonido Clash in the context of San Jose, like how would you place it, or what do you think Sonido Clash's role is in San Jose and the arts community? And yeah, like maybe speak on that a little bit.
Cool.
No, Roman. Yeah, I mean, you've obviously you've been part of this sort of music scene, right, yeah. Roman, for a really long time.
Yeah.
Here in San Jose, the Bay Area, and so maybe just talk about maybe some of the struggles that you find yourself finding when you're trying to come up with these shows, and because it's hard, you know, it's hard to throw shows because there's always like you basically have to have a good chunk of money to make sure it happens, and then there's a lot of shit that kind of like you have to kind of juggle while you're trying to make these shows happen. So yeah, I mean, maybe describe Sonido Clash a little bit in its like in its early stages, and maybe the what you guys kind of struggled with in the beginning.
Yeah, so for us in the beginning, we're venues, finding where to have these events at. I remember at the time, like around 2009, there was a bunch of us doing parties at different places and kind of doing the same thing almost. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of like, well, why instead of you know, compete, or well, so it wasn't even competing, but why don't we just all get together, you know, kind of like Voltron, and and just make this party, you know. And so we got, there was people like Mex Tape and Julian that were doing parties here at Debug. There was people like Tommy that was doing parties all over downtown. At the time, there's also Filthy Drones was doing parties at the Billiards.
What year was this roughly?
Like 2009.
Nice.
And then I was doing parties with Mex Tape. We were doing it at Agenda and Johnny V's at the time.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, why don't we just all get together and try to bring out bigger artists, get our money together.
And for those that don't know, Roman, you are yourself, you mentioned this already, but you're a producer and DJ. So you're kind of that component, and just want to reiterate that point of why this collective is cool, because there's different people doing different things. It's not just like you guys aren't just all producers. You're not just all promoters. You kind of do a little bit of everything, but sorry, continue. So
and on top of that, I had just moved back to San Jose. I was living in Oakland and San Francisco for like about 12 years.
Holy shit.
And
I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, I was there for a long time. Then I was living in Mexico, but it was kind of like, well, there's all these cool parties happening in San Francisco and in Oakland. Why can't we have that in San Jose, So moving back, and I was just like, dude, where am I going to play at? You know, I was just playing in San Francisco, or again, just out of town, you know? So I was like, that's when I started doing stuff with Mex Tape, and we started doing stuff at Johnny V's. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of creating our own space, you know?
Yeah.
And
Johnny V's, was that like a venue, or was
it? That was a venue on Santa Clara.
Cool.
But the very first one was at Legionnaire, and that one was a really dope show.
Nice.
But this was like around 2009.
Yeah.
And then from there we were like, why don't we just all get together, you know, the people that were doing all these Latino alternative shows. And we would try to take it to places like other venues. We would try to explain what we wanted to do, what we were trying to do, and a lot of people really didn't understand.
What kind of people would be booked at those places or during that time?
Like, for example, when we first hit up when we first hit up Agenda, we were like, yeah, we want to do this Latino party. You know, we're gonna play cumbia, we're gonna play different types of other Latino music, like. And then we're kind of like, what do you mean? We already do that, you know? Mm-hmm. But we were kind of, we didn't want to sound like, oh, we're trying to be cool or anything like that. But I mean, when the people think of Latino music here in San Jose, at the time, it was like really top 40, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it was like Miami Beach Club, you know? It was like even places like Lido's, you know? And those places are tight. I like them, but we wanted to do a different type of party, especially a party where you could play anything, not just, you know, traditional top 40 Latino music, you know. We could play a lot of the new stuff coming out of Mexico at the time. So our struggles were just coming up with money. We were doing everything out of pocket, and we still do everything out of pocket, and we still believe in that, you know, and owning, you know, the art, owning like the curation of it, you know, because it's kind of like an art, I believe, you know, and I think a lot of people in the crew believe that too, you know. You should own it, because it's ideas, it's something you're creating, you know, and to give it off to a club, I don't know.
They just don't understand, or they, like you're saying.
Yeah, it's just more like
you guys heard of Maria y Jose.
And they're like, what, you know? And it's cool to see now that the tide has turned. Like there's I see some clubs that kind of like change their mind on that and want to book these Latino alternatives.
For sure.
But the problem that I do see is that, you know, what's gonna happen when they don't see it as being profitable or being cool, whatever. And for us, it's like, no,
for sure,
we want to own it. You know, let some club owner own it. You know?
Right. But. So, yeah, I mean, I guess going off of that, like, how would you describe the art scene here in San Jose over the past, like, 10 years? And Quinn, feel free to chime in here. Like, how would you, I guess in comparison, this always, I feel like I always bring this up. And as an outsider, I kind of see it, like, immediately of, like, everybody wants to compare South Bay with San Francisco or Oakland. And I think the most immediate, on the superficial level, like the answer is, you know, San Francisco and Oakland are like bigger cities, they're more, I guess, like condensed and there's more sort of like the culture kind of like comes from it a little more naturally, just because it is like a bigger, like more metropolis, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Yeah. And so, yeah, like how would you describe San Jose in the context of, not that it should be compared to, but or how you see it in your eyes, or maybe speak to the art scene one? Here in San Jose.
Like for like 10 years ago?
Yeah. Or just how you see it kind of developing, because I guess, you know, we're talking, I feel like it is kind of moving in this really cool direction, which you guys are part of. And, you know, and like really, it's really cool to see just in the last 2.5 years that I've lived here of, yeah, you know, of kind of seeing, like we've been saying, of just throwing shows, bringing people now, this next step, putting on this festival with like some really legit ass artists. And then the next step, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, I guess it's just like the question is like, what are the difficulties of trying to do what you guys are trying to do in San Jose?
I guess access was definitely one. Like for me, within the arts, I was introduced to basically like grassroots efforts of producing like music festivals back in, I want to say like 2009, 2010, through Left Coast Live when I was just a design intern. And that was just my taste of it. And I didn't know that they had things like that. I didn't know they had homegrown efforts of let's block off this whole street, have like 100 bands and like whatever venues are that would be open. Mm-hmm. And for me, before going to shows was basically like, oh, San Jose State has a show, I'm gonna go there. Or like one of my favorite touring artists are coming, I'm gonna go there.
Right.
But to see like local acts trying to make something of themselves, like I wouldn't have seen that if I didn't get that taste from the community.
Sure.
And so from then to now, like I'm seeing much more of that DIY grassroots spirit kind of on a next level kind of tier, in that more people want to take pride in where they live, especially with more and more people moving into San Jose, and a lot of the environment and the community is changing. So to just kind of maintain and nurture just whatever they have left of what they would like to call home is just through the art and music that they can express themselves with.
Sure.
So it's whether it's like zines, like having like ZineCon, South Bay DIY Zine Collective. They're like an amazing group that I would name as a homegrown effort.
Cool.
And you hear about like the Snotty Kids and their East Side efforts. You hear about a lot of events at the plaza where there are a lot of events at the plaza, which not many people know about, but very active within East Side, within arts and culture. There's like a Colombian festival. There's over in Story Road, there's not on just Story Road, there's like maybe like 4 or 5 Lunar New Year festivals that are happening. And this is all through like either small businesses or like community efforts. And so it's really nice to see more of the individuals taking pride in the cultural arts and making for themselves, instead of relying on like bigger venues, box office tickets, and whatnot.
Yeah. What would you attribute that to? You think maybe like also like the internet, perhaps like social media being, you can maybe like get a, you have like more of a platform to share this shit, as opposed to maybe even like 10 years ago. It's kind of crazy how it's blown up.
Yeah, 10 years ago, I remember just flyering and having just flyers and making a thousand flyers and going out down the street and giving people flyers. Now with Instagram and Facebook and all you
get the word out easier.
And it's just, it's really instant. And there's pros and cons to it. I think, the pros is that it's easier, it's more efficient, but then there's the other side of it where I feel like now there's just, it's just too much just hitting you in the face. Like,
yeah.
Put it on Instagram, you just want to turn it off.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, there's
that side of it, but... But yeah, definitely social media has made it easier. I do think the San Jose scene is fragile in that if, let's say, Sonido Clash stops doing something the day of tomorrow, or Chiquimalas or Trita Mano Club, you know, that would be it. You know, there wouldn't be anything Latino alternative. I wouldn't see anybody kind of picking up what we've done or have built, you know.
Yeah.
While I feel like in Oakland and San Francisco, there's people doing stuff all the time, and
yeah,
there's people that are waiting to fill those shoes, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so San Jose, I always feel like it kind of goes up and down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
there's people that come in and are coming hard trying to do shows, and then 1 or 2 years later, they just disappear, they get burned out or whatnot.
For sure,
and
then
that's it, you know. So,
but that's also kind of cool, I think, of seeing people like you guys trying to really establish yourself, is that you kind of have a little more of like a chip on your shoulder, you know, as opposed to somewhere in San Francisco where, like you're saying, it's really saturated and maybe it's difficult over there in its own right of trying to come up with something from scratch. But, you know, like on any given weekend or weeknight, there's like shows happening all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas here you have to be a little more crafty about it, about how you get the word out, how you set it up. Mm-hmm. And I think, I think it's giving you guys some character in a good way.
Sometimes it could be kind of like bitter.
Yeah, for sure.
As kids say nowadays, salty. Not just fine. It's hard because, you know, like... We've been experimenting this year doing shows in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And usually when we do like the shows in Oakland, it's like there's not as much effort out there, and the parties are always cracking, you know. There's always hella people that come through. While here in San Jose, sometimes it feels like you're pulling teeth, you know, in some events. And it's hard, you know.
I think you just have to power through, which is what you guys are doing, and that's again really cool to see. Sonido Clash is a collective of artists, promoters, activists, producers, who are basically, you know, have been throwing shows here in San Jose as a collective for almost 10 years right at this mm-hmm. point. And so it's, again, really fucking tight to see this show coming this Sunday, which anyone listening should attend at the Mexican Heritage Plaza, September 3rd. Doors open at 2:30. What am I missing in terms of the plugs here? That's it. Oh, sorry. I didn't want to get too into that. But, maybe we can start talking about the actual show and how it came about and what you guys are doing behind the scenes to make it happen. Because again, like, fucking Prayers is coming, Cuco, El Lado Negro, Grupo Maravilla, all these really fucking great artists who are on the vanguard of this scene, I believe, and it's really tight to see them come here to San Jose. First question, I guess, would be like, what is like the Mexican Heritage Plaza? Because I'm actually not totally familiar with what it is. And
if you ever go to like Alum Rock and King Road, on that corner, you're gonna see like a super tall orange tower,
mm-hmm.
and around it is just like this big facility, this venue, where it, like, you go on the outside, you don't. It's just like a big venue, where mm-hmm. just like this facility that's locked off. But
for
when
sure.
you go inside, it's
really nice.
It's
super
like a
nice.
Bam! You would not have expected
for sure.
to see it.
Absolutely.
So much like creativity and like art, music, like, happens in there. Like,
for
you
sure.
go in there and you're bumping into like a lot of the local artists.
Roman Turbo Sony.
I guess.
You might brush shoulders with
me. You might see me there.
Brush shoulders and walk away.
Ooh.
Nah, I'll smile. But a lot of nice people just from the community that are there to take like classes, whether it's folklorico, that's where I started doing Brazilian drumming.
Mm-hmm.
There's theater classes, clay, ceramics, fine art, vocal.
So who runs it exactly, or who
there's the staff there, the School of Arts and Culture at the Mexican Heritage Plaza.
Cool.
It's like a staff of probably like 11. The director is Tamara Alvarado, and a lot of her team, which is Lilia, the education director, Vanessa, Nelly, mm-hmm. Damone, and a lot more folks. Like, they put in so much heart and energy just to be able to create a space so that people, especially those who live in the Mayfair, can have access to the arts through
awesome.
These classes.
Yeah, it is a really nice venue, like you're saying.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, and assuming, like, when you're outside, it's like a building, but then, you know, there's, like a building where, like, there's, like, two or three theaters, right? And then, There's one theater, and then, but then the outside also is, like, basically, like, this really nice little plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's going to be a really cool spot for this to happen. And so when did you guys start basically trying to put this? Because this is the second one, right? Last year,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
It's the same place at the Mexican Heritage Project last year.
I mean, how long have you guys been thinking about the festival or having a festival?
We thought about it like probably like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, why don't we just do a festival? And we kind of tried like we had sixth anniversary party at Back Bar. And that was kind of our idea to have a festival that day. So we sort of like in a club.
Yeah.
So we invited we invited hella DJs that we've messed around with or invited in past shows.
Sure.
And yeah, that was a lot of fun. But from there we're kind of like, man, we should just make a festival out of it, like a full on festival.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year that we did it. I had gotten from Molly.
You got a mini grant.
I got a mini grant from Molly.
Thank you.
So I'm part of Molly. So is Quinn. Actually, everybody in Sonido Clash is part of Molly.
And it stands for the Multicultural Arts Leadership Institute, and it's basically a leadership network that basically nurtures and empowers artists, community activists, members of color who are actively involved in the arts and culture, to give them the resources, the knowledge, the confidence, and the voice platform to basically take ownership of the arts and culture within San Jose. And that's especially within taking on seats of, whether it's being panels for grants, board members of organizations, so that we can have more voice in making those decisions when it comes to the arts in San Jose, to make it more diverse.
For sure.
So I got that mini grant, and then we used it at the Mexican Heritage Plaza, and that's where the whole festival pretty much started, you know.
That's when I started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when we needed somebody that's badass
yeah.
to help us out because we're
to
I
keep
mean,
you guys in line.
There we go. So that's where Quinn comes with the whip.
Awesome, yeah.
But everything I mean, we started the first year, we invited too many artists. We had like over 25 artists.
Uh-huh.
Poets and bands. And like 6-7 hours, I think it was. So trying to get everybody on stage, and it was hectic. So we definitely learned a lot from that. And this year we're going double the budget, and we're a bit more organized.
Awesome.
And with a little bit more time too.
Cool.
Last year we had like we organized, like, we actually put the whole festival on, like, we started like in
a month and a half.
Yeah, like mid July, and it was in September. This time we started in May.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll still start earlier.
Yeah.
So every
next
year,
year
so,
next
yeah,
year. Every
year
you learn
so
some shit.
We're learning. You're learning
for sure, man.
The loopholes and sponsors and all that. But
yeah,
everything's been out of pocket so far with the help of some sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And so my question would be, like, what is the actual, like, like logistics of basically getting someone like Prayers to come? Like, what do you literally have to do? Do you just like message them, or what? How does that work with like him, with them, or with El Lado Negro, who are more sort of like established artists? Like, is there any sort of problems of like with their contract if they're signed to like a label or some shit? Like, how does that work? Because I have no idea. So
yeah, so there's a lot of back and forth going. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it does start off with the message, but then, you know, the manager will hit you up, and then they're like, well, how many people are you expecting? How much are you thinking you're going to sell? How many tickets are you going to sell? Mm-hmm. Then send us what the lineup's going to look like. Can we get this person to play at this time? And there's just like a lot of ask and a lot of like mm-hmm. going back and forth. Like, yeah, we could do that. We could do this, that, mm-hmm. that. And Prayers, it took like at least like a month to
lock down.
Shit. Yeah.
But and, they've been here twice already, right? That you guys have brought.
But ya se cotizaron.
Yeah, yeah. Now they're big time.
And they should be. You know, they're.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
They've put a lot of work and a lot of quality work.
For sure.
And that's where they're at. And yeah. So there's a lot of ask. You know, it's like, yeah, could we get this type of speakers? Could we get this? You know, and our writer, could we get like, yellow M&Ms or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. For sure. Yeah. You know. And you gotta
you guys all kind of take that on of like
there's
it's like Prayers, El Lado Negro, Grupo Mayoría. Like, it sounds kind of fucking hectic, dude. It sounds like a nightmare.
There's certain people within the group that take on the specific tasks. Like, I know for this festival, Roman, Tommy, and even Fernando were handling artist contracts. There are times where I'll step in to like handle the marketing side, design side, just our organizing. And then Mextape, which if you've been reading the social media, those are all his words.
Nice. Yeah, he has a certain sort of poetic social media prose to his yeah. filled with like dolphin emojis and
and so it's very much like a group effort where I wouldn't be able to do the logistics of production, like getting venue, organizing other aspects of programming, partners or sponsorship, if I didn't have the artists.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of, that's why I say it sounds like a nightmare, because you're kind of having to like wait on certain things of being like, oh, Prayers is gonna come maybe, or now they are actually coming. Yeah. You know,
yeah, and then so. it's like oh, we want to play in San Francisco the next day or the night before.
Fuck,
and it's like,
yeah
no, you can't do that. Could we play here or could we play there?
Are they asking for you to find somewhere to play?
No, they have shows lined up. So the farthest that we were cool with was Fresno, so they're gonna be playing in Fresno.
Why is that exactly? Just so it doesn't run into
Are not like, well, I'm just gonna go to San Francisco instead. And a lot of people, you know, in San Jose usually want to go see people in San Francisco.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That happens often though, right? With artists. I've heard of that happening, or like South by Southwest or Coachella or some shit. Like, they can't go and play like for a week or something anywhere around. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the radius clause in the contract. So
cool.
Yeah, there's been a few artists that we were trying to get, and they were already playing outside lands.
Okay.
So that's the thing. I mean, I think next year we need to start way earlier and lock in those artists.
Cool. You know? Yeah, for sure, man.
Those contracts.
Awesome. Who made the SoundCloud playlist? I just reposted that. I thought it was pretty tight.
I made it.
So yeah, follow Sonido Clash on SoundCloud if you aren't already. It's just Sonido Clash, right?
If you don't know what a lot of these artists sound like, check out the SoundCloud.
Absolutely, yeah.
And listen to them and see what they're about. I think most of these artists, or all of them, are super dope, you know?
Absolutely.
And I'm excited to see them.
Cool. All right. So yeah, we talked a little bit about the logistics of trying to fucking get this thing off the ground and running, which sounds kind of crazy. And so yeah, maybe we talk about the actual artists that are coming, because I'm really excited to see, you know, obviously Prayers, El Lado Negro, Cuco, and the other bands that are coming. Let me bring it up real quick. Like Grupo Maravilla, how did you guys connect with fucking them? Like,
it's just been we've talked to them a bunch of times trying to get them to come to San Jose. And
are they based in LA?
They're based in LA, and they were originally based in Puebla and Mexico. So now they're out in LA. But yeah, we were trying to get them to come play a Sonido Clash for the longest time. We're just like, damn, let's just do it this year, you know?
Yeah.
We sort of have the money to do it, so
yeah.
So let's just do it, you know? I've been big fans of them. I know a lot of people in Sonido Clash have been big fans of Grupo Maravilla and their past work.
Uh-huh.
And they're one of considered one of like the fathers of cumbia poblana.
Really?
Yeah, which is it's a really it's a style of cumbia that comes from Puebla. And so yeah, I'm super excited.
That's sick, dude. Yeah,
to have them, really cool. You know, and there's some people that have told me, oh, you know, $30 too expensive or $40 at the door is too expensive.
Yeah.
Well, those guys charge like $50 at the door when they come and play, and that's only to come and play for, that's only to go to this night. What's up?
No, go ahead.
This party that goes from like 10 to 2 in the morning. You know, we're offering like a whole day.
Yeah, experience. Yeah. That's what's really. Fucking frustrating and annoying a lot of the time we kind of run into this problem too of basically like kind of reaching out to your friends, your circle, your community, and basically getting that sort of reaction like, oh, why are you gonna charge this or whatever. And I think a lot of people just aren't aware of all of the fucking back end shit that you have to really put into it, and yeah, and it leads to a lot of motherfucking resentment.
Yeah.
Talking personally. Now, I'm not speaking for these guys whatsoever.
Are like, put me on the guest list.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. Dude. Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, you know, like prayers, you know, you'll go see them for like $25. Helado Negro, probably like 30 or even 25.
No, dude, I mean, this is definitely well worth what you guys are, or what the ticket prices are. You want to discuss
And we're trying to make it as low as possible, you know. Because, again, you know, we want to get, you know, people from the community or people, you know, from the east side to come out, you know.
Yeah. Where's the flyer with like all of it, with like the people who are in the poetry and shit? What?
I have it in my bag. Can you get one of them?
One second.
And I want to add, if you don't want to pay the $40 ticket at the door, volunteer. You can contact me, or be a vendor. Not that my other bag.
Cool. All right, so other just shout them out really quick. Afrodita, Chico Sonido, Papi Perez, Lado Oriente, cool. Sister, thank you. Sister Mantos, Truly the Vinyl Club, PD Rusty, and then the Sonido Clash Residents, La Coyo, Chale Brown, Mr. Turbo Sonidero, Mixtape, Easy Uno. And then for the Poetry Center, Yosimar Reyes, who I'm also really excited to see. That's definitely Yacaria Salvatierra. Jason LaCour, Kazumi Chin, Michelle Lin, Mighty Mike McGee.
And also add to the poetry Reyes Muertos and Olga Loya.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah, so this is definitely a festival that I can see that's definitely very community-oriented, and it's kind of reflecting San Jose really strongly, which is why I urge anyone listening to please come check it out. It's going to be like a really cool day of really great music, really good people. Saw that there's going to be a cumbia workshop. I joked earlier that I'm going to need to take it because I really don't know how to dance.
Who's going to be? I see you.
Who's only when I'm fucking drunk, basically. Then I just start like,
yeah.
He'll teach you a little bit.
I hope so, because I just have to be drunk enough to start like bouncing around. So who's going to be leading that or what?
I think we're still confirming it right now, so it's TBA.
Cool. I'm the first one on the list then.
Yeah. You have to come early though, it's gonna be in the beginning.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a Bocho show, a Volkswagen vintage show. Is that, they're from San Jose, that group?
Yes.
Yeah, they're from San Jose, and it's gonna be kind of like a contest that we're gonna have.
Sick.
Show and competition, it was actually from a friend who is part of like a car club called Vintage Volks Car Club, and he was saying like, yo, you gotta have PWs at your festival. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, yes.
Sounds good. Uh-huh. And so it's like things like that, taking input from the community
for
and
sure.
seeing
trying
what
to
they
want to
see. Yeah. Yeah. And so working with the community.
And just to take a quick step back, so when you guys are putting all of this together and thinking of the acts that are going to come, do you guys basically have like a weekly meeting or like a monthly meeting where you're kind of like, all right, we have prayers locked down, now it's time to move on to trying to get El Negro, et cetera, et cetera. Like, how do you, or do you guys have like a thread going and try and make it all come together?
Well, we had a wish list of who we wanted to, to get on. The only person that we didn't plan on was Cuco. That was thrown at us, like their manager hit us up actually.
Sick.
And so yeah, we
yeah,
were
that
like,
kid's fucking blowing up, man. I'm really excited to see him for sure.
Yeah, I had sort of heard about him, but I didn't really pay too much attention. Mm-hmm. And then when the manager was like, "Oh yeah, do you guys want Cuco?" I started looking him up, and I was like, "Damn, yeah, we should definitely get him."
Sick.
And yeah, so, but yeah, we mostly just had a wish list and kind of like go down the list of who's available and who's not.
And then you lock them down.
Lock them down.
And hope for the best.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And it's the same for like other programming, like whether it's, oh, we want more vendors or dance lessons or a poetry stage.
Sure.
And so that's more of like a matter of like, okay, who are the right partners to partner up with that? And so being, going to shows outside or seeing the presence within the community, especially within poetry, you have like Mighty Mike McGee,
who's a staple of San Jose, right?
Does so much for the community, hosting, presenting, emceeing almost every show.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's on the board of Poetry Center San Jose. And so for the first festival, I hit him up, was like, hey, like, you gotta help us. take some. We if we're able to have access to so much space, like it's
well,
only
take
the right
advantage
thing.
Of it.
Yeah, take advantage. Give Absolutely. Share space.
Absolutely.
And so that's just the part of it. Like like sharing space with Debug or Vegilution, which I'm excited about because they're gonna be releasing or showcasing their new truck. Like a little farm stand, pop-up farm
nice.
Stand.
Nice, awesome.
And partnering up with El Observador, they have been major partners with us
awesome.
Since this year's Selena event.
Cool.
And you have to pick up a copy, which will be coming Friday, because inside we'll have our program festival. And so it's groups like that, small businesses like Zapatas, Taqueria, which is like behind the SAP Center.
Yeah, it's like down the street basically from where we are right now.
Super supportive.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the others.
Does that leave anybody out here?
I know. I'm going to get in trouble. Debug, the space that we're in right now.
Of course.
Couldn't do this without Debug.
Awesome,
so supportive.
Yeah.
The school giving us access within the community engagement program, which gives access at rates where individuals wouldn't normally be able to afford those market
absolutely
rates. And so we wouldn't be able to do events without that.
Yeah, and that's all the more reason that I'm really excited for this show, because it is, like you're saying, such a community driven event as opposed to something like Lollapalooza or fucking South by Southwest, where it's like these big sponsors, which I can see you guys eventually getting to that, and I hope you do.
I want to get there one day.
Yeah, of course.
We actually this year we got hit up by Red Bull, so we're partnering up with them this year. But I always thought, like I said, like we want to own what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and we want it to be organic, you know. If some corporate sponsor wants to come at us.
Absolutely, then, yeah. No, I'm not saying that they're bad or anything, but in this initial stage or this new stage that you guys are at seems, like you're saying, really organic. Yeah. It seems like it's really cool. And given the artists and the shit that's going to be there, I think it's going to be like a really, really good time. So once again, y'all better fucking come. SonidoClash.com. And they also, I forgot to mention him, but Yosimar will be there. And, you know, he's also blowing up in his own right. And he's so fucking cool to follow. And his even just like his like Facebook, he does a lot of shit, but his like online personality is so fucking cool and like very like irreverent, and like, you know, he doesn't give a fuck, and he just like says whatever the fuck
he wants. I'm hella excited, especially, you know, him being from the east side.
Exactly, dude. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just like,
yeah. I remember my first time hearing his poetry. It was when I think it was like a year or two ago. We were working on the Silicon Valley Debug Poetry mixtape.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
His poems happened to be one of them, and like working with him, trying to like record and put these tapes into like. Or put the recordings into tapes, I would have to constantly listen to the poetry, which is great.
Yeah.
It's an emotional roller coaster, but it was great. And his voice, his poetry was just like stuck in my head. Like I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just just knowing that he's going to be here, like in person, where I can, like, I've never met him actually.
Oh, shit.
And so to actually hear him, like, I'm very excited.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a real cool person. And yeah, even cool that he's fucking from Eastside San Jose. Yeah. So yeah, I think we're pretty much good here. Just wrap it up here. Let me see. What's kind of next for Sonido Clash, kind of in the sort of immediate future and beyond?
I want to take a vacation.
What you just on vacation for? Don't give him a vacation.
That's not actually vacation. Play. It's not vacation.
Whatever.
I don't know. Playing takes a lot out of you.
It does, but like.
And this.
I'm talking about Sonido Clash, not you personally, dude.
I wanted to add that just because, you know, I'm just excited.
So on the record.
I want you all to feel what I'm feeling. No, I'm playing. But as far as Sonido Clash, I think next year we want to start earlier on this music festival. Go 2 times harder, maybe 5 times. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Also, we have the Selena tribute party that's happening in April.
April, right, yep.
I don't think... what do you think as far as like doing... like DJ parties or whatnot, taking a little break from that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, that's what you... we're joking just now. Yeah. I hope you didn't get your feelings hurt.
No. I'm hurt.
I wasn't joking, so...
But no, I can understand the grind of putting on, like we were discussing earlier, of, you know, putting on these shows, like, month after month, and your kind of energy is... spent doing that shit, and they're great shows. Mm-hmm. But then this is why I wanted to have you guys come in and kind of talk about this sort of big, really cool next step that you're taking in terms of thinking a little bigger picture in terms of like the music festivals, the Selena shit, and really kind of keeping the community involved, of course, because it's not just like music that you guys are trying to promote. Mm-hmm. It's kind of art, poetry, and the bigger San Jose. Even just the sponsors on this thing are all very San Josean and very cool that they're behind this shit. So, I wish y'all obviously the best. We're here to witness it. And where can people follow Sonido Clash for on social media and shit, or for to keep up the...
Instagram is at Sonido Clash, and Facebook is Sonido Clash SJ.
Okay.
And website, SonidoClash.com.
Yes.
And through what, where can people follow your art, your...
On the streets of San Jose.
Just on the fucking, literally the streets.
On the corner.
The Alameda at Whole Foods.
There we go. Turbo Sonidero, on SoundCloud, you could just do a search, Turbo Sonidero, or Facebook, Turbo Sonidero.
Yeah.
Just anywhere. Just Google me. You'll find me.
And Quinn, for your social media, if you want to plug that.
Quinn Latifa.
Nice. Instagram. Spell it out. The
Quynhlatifah.
Sweet. Yeah. I want to definitely catch up also with Turbo in terms of his music and stuff, because... I feel your SoundCloud has definitely, like, it. I've always been interested in how DJs, like, basically work, or producers work, and how they spend their time coming up with, like, either a new album or collaborating and putting out shit. And I see a lot of people that'll, like you were saying earlier, they'll be active for like a year or two, and then they just kind of just stop for whatever reason, just because they take a break or it's fucking you get burnt out. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been grinding hard, so we can come in at a future date. But for now, again, if you're in the Bay Area or anywhere around the Bay Area, this Sunday, September 3rd, Labor Day weekend, will be the second Sonido Clash Music Fest at the Mexican Heritage Plaza. Doors open at 2:30. Featuring the likes of Prayers, Lado Negro, Cuco, Grupo Maravilla, Afrodita, Chico Sonido, Papi Perez, Lado Oriente, Sister Manos, Street the Vinyl Club, PD Rusty, along with a lot of other really cool shit. So please come out and enjoy the show. It's going to be super cool. I want to thank you guys for coming through, chilling in this cramped ass fucking basement. I'm fucking like sweating already. I need to take this sweater off, but
I'm crying.
They were surprised through what you didn't ask for, like a trailer or something, like an air-conditioned trailer, like a platter of fucking like food and shit. And damn, you're already getting big time, huh, dude?
I have some stories for you, but that's for some.
That's off the record.
That's for a later interview.
I gotcha. You know. Cool. All right. Well, thanks, guys. We should be good.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.